This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine going on what feels like an absolutely fantastic first date.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Right, so the conversation is flowing effortlessly, you're laughing at the same jokes, and you somehow find out you have, you know, all the exact same niche interests.
Well, that sounds like a rare, highly successful evening.
It is. You spend 3 hours together, and the connection is just undeniable.
Yeah.
But then dinner ends.
Right.
You both stand up, smile at each other, say, well, that was great. And then you just turn and walk away in opposite directions.
Yeah.
You just leave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no phone number exchanged.
Wow.
I mean, no mention of a second date, just a memory. It sounds absurd, right?
Yeah, that would be completely bizarre behavior in real life.
But as it turns out, that is exactly how thousands of businesses handle their digital marketing every single day. You spend a fortune getting a prospect to your website, they love what they see, and then they leave.
And you have absolutely no systematic way to follow up.
That's exactly. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is figuring out how to build a marketing engine that works while you sleep, one that actually gets the phone number, so to speak.
It's a critical mission, honestly, because the margin for error in business growth has, well, it's essentially vanished today.
To guide us, we are looking at a highly strategic 2026 playbook from Double Dome Digital Marketing. It was authored by Joe Medico, their director of client services, and it's called Retargeting Campaign Build, the one campaign type that keeps warming up your leads while you focus on everything else.
That is quite the title, but it delivers.
It really does. Okay, let's unpack this, because right from the jump, this guide outlines a rather brutal reality about operating a business in 2026. We are in what they call the AI slump.
Yeah, the AI slump. It completely changes the math for business leaders. I mean, for years, the default growth strategy was just throwing money at search engines.
Right, just buying keywords and hoping for the best.
Exactly. You rented top-of-the-funnel traffic, hoping enough people would stumble onto your site and make an immediate purchase. But in 2026, AI search engines.
Like the generative AI that gives you answers directly right in the search bar.
Right. Those engines are intercepting those basic queries. So organic click-through rates for informational searches have just plummeted.
Because the AI just answers the question for you, so you never click the link.
Exactly. You can no longer afford to casually rent traffic. You have to own the entire lead lifecycle. Because if you lack a technical backbone to capture and deliberately nurture the initial interest you manage to generate, you aren't really marketing.
You are just funding a very expensive leak.
Mm.
The guide actually calls this the silent leak. And the scenario they map out is incredibly painful to think about.
It really is.
Picture a high-value prospect landing on your B2B site. They are highly engaged. I mean, they don't just bounce. They read through 3 pages of your absolute best, most expensive to produce case studies.
So they are genuinely impressed.
Very impressed. But then, you know, real life happens.
Yeah, a calendar notification pops up for an urgent Zoom meeting.
Or maybe their kid walks in. Or perhaps they simply realize they aren't authorized to sign a massive enterprise contract at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon without consulting their team.
Right, which is completely normal.
So they close the tab. In a standard marketing setup, that lead is now effectively treated as dead. The only way you ever get them back is if they spontaneously remember your specific company name 3 weeks later when they finally get budget approval.
Which is a huge gamble.
A massive gamble. The text points out the financial drain of this. We're talking about companies burning $15,000 a month on ad campaigns just to buy disappearing clicks.
Wow.
It feels like paying for a premium, top-tier luxury gym membership. But you never actually scan your key fob at the door. You are paying thousands of dollars for access, but capturing absolutely zero value.
This raises an important question. What can a CEO actually depend on? Because yes, it's normal human behavior to browse and leave. We all do it.
Right. But wait, I have to push back a little here. Isn't it normal that people just browse and leave? Why is this considered a fatal flaw now in 2026?
Because as a business, relying on the hope that a busy professional will spontaneously remember you is relying on luck. And luck is not a system a CEO can depend on for predictable growth.
I agree.
The fundamental shift in 2026 is moving away from hope toward a rigorous technical backbone. It's about recognizing that a prospect pausing their research isn't a permanent rejection.
It's just a pause.
Exactly. It's just a pause. If your system treats a temporary pause like a permanent exit, well, your system is broken.
Wait, so by setting this up properly, we are essentially shifting the cognitive burden of remembering from the customer to our own servers.
Precisely. You stop demanding that the client do the hard work of keeping you top of mind.
That reframes the whole issue for me. So how do businesses traditionally try to solve this? I feel like usually they slap a pop-up on their site, begging for an email address to send a newsletter.
Oh, the dreaded pop-up newsletter.
Right. But the source introduces what it calls the guru insight. In the B2B world, high-ticket services have a long buying cycle, typically 3 to 6 months. You don't get spontaneous checkout cart conversions for enterprise software or consulting.
No, definitely not.
To win, you have to remain the preferred answer throughout that entire multi-month period.
And the instinct for the last decade has been to just force them onto a monthly newsletter. But the reality of generic newsletters in 2026 is bleak.
Why is that? I mean, everyone has a newsletter.
They do, but they get instantly filtered into promotional tabs or buried in crowded inboxes. They are a one-size-fits-all broadcast.
Oh, right.
And worse, they force leadership teams to rely on vanity metrics like open rates. I mean, an open rate tells a CEO absolutely nothing about pipeline revenue or actual purchase intent.
It's like throwing a message in a bottle into the ocean and celebrating because you saw a fish swim past it.
That is a great way to put it.
You have no idea if it's getting to the right person. Contrast that with what this text advocates for, which is a retargeting campaign build. Retargeting isn't a message in a bottle. It's like having a dedicated, invisible concierge who knows exactly where you are on the mountain, showing up with a map only at the exact moments you look lost.
I like that visualization. Because retargeting follows engaged prospects across the wider web. When they are reading a trade publication, checking their professional social feeds, or watching a video, your brand maintains a presence.
Yeah, it's always there.
Right. And what makes this an always-on nurture system is the automation. It requires zero manual button pushing from your team once it's built.
And from a leadership perspective, the dashboard clarity completely changes. The text emphasizes that retargeting provides a definitive spent X made Y clarity for decision makers. It cuts out the fluff. There's also this fascinating detail about AI engines. Having this omnipresence actually increases brand confidence. If an AI algorithm observes a user consistently engaging with your brand across multiple platforms over a 3-month period, well, the AI starts to recognize your brand as a highly relevant authority in that space.
It is the ultimate anti-fluff campaign because you are exclusively targeting people who have already demonstrated intent.
Right. They already showed up once.
Exactly. You aren't shouting into the void trying to attract strangers. You are maximizing the value of the people you have already paid to attract. You spent the initial marketing budget to get them to the site. So retargeting is the mechanism that ensures you actually capture a return on that initial investment.
Okay, we know the newsletter is out and retargeting is the superior tool, but how does this actually function in practice? We have to get into the architecture of the sequence.
Right, the actual build.
Because the guide is very explicit here. The strategy is not just stalking someone with the same logo for 90 days.
No, please don't do that.
Right. If we can't just blast them with the same ad, what's the alternative? The underlying logic here is mapping the ad to the exact psychological state of the buyer.
Exactly. It requires a tiered sequence. Let's walk through what this actually looks like for a typical B2B buyer. Imagine an operations director. Let's say he's researching cloud migration tools.
Okay, so he's feeling out the market, clicks an ad, and lands on your homepage.
Yep.
The source calls this first stage the awareness bridge. Because he only hit the homepage, he's just kicking the tires. The system logs that behavior.
And remembers it.
Right. Now, when he leaves and goes to LinkedIn the next day, the system doesn't scream buy now at him. Instead, the sequence shows him broad educational content, maybe a short video about common mistakes in cloud migration.
Right. You aren't asking for a marriage on the first date. You are just establishing expertise.
Right.
But let's say 3 weeks later, that same operations director comes back. This time, he navigates to a specific service page about enterprise-level data security during a migration.
Now, he has moved into what the guide calls the consideration proof stage.
Yeah.
He is past the general education phase.
Yeah.
He has a specific problem.
Exactly.
So the next time he is reading a tech news site, your system serves him a highly specific case study or proprietary data showing how your company secured data for a similar enterprise client.
Wow.
You are actively proving you can solve his exact problem.
And finally, you have the decision trigger. This is for the deepest level of intent.
The bottom of the funnel.
Right. Let's say 2 months into his research, he finally visits your pricing page, or he spends 5 minutes reading your FAQ section. He is clearly on the verge of making a choice.
For that behavior, the sequence shifts again. Now, when he's watching a YouTube video, he gets a direct book, a demo prompt, or a specific consultation offer.
Ooh.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because I know some of you listening are thinking, okay, but isn't this basically just high-tech stalking?
It's a common concern.
Right, like if I look at your pricing page on a Tuesday, and then suddenly you are shoving a contact us button in my face everywhere I go on the internet, I mean, doesn't that feel incredibly aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
Let me push back on this architecture. Are we genuinely helping the buyer, or are we just using sophisticated tech to pester them?
What's fascinating here is that the difference between stalking and serving comes down entirely to context and value.
Context and value.
Yeah. When a sequenced architecture is implemented properly, it is anticipating needs based on explicit behavior. If someone is studying your pricing page, they actively want to know what a commercial engagement looks like.
True.
If they get pulled away by a phone call, putting a frictionless way to contact you in their feed a few hours later isn't a disruption, it's a profound convenience. Aligning the message to their exact stage eliminates what the text calls lead decay.
Lead decay.
You are providing a genuinely helpful personalized experience that respects their decision-making timeline.
It's the difference between a retail worker following you around the store aggressively, asking if you need help every 10 seconds, versus, you know, a knowledgeable guide who quietly steps in to hand you the exact technical spec sheet you were looking for right when you start scratching your head.
It is a service.
Yeah.
But in architecture this elegant is only as good as its technical execution, especially given how drastically the internet has changed regarding privacy and tracking.
Which brings us to the execution rules. A beautiful sequence on a whiteboard is great, but how does this actually function technically in the modern privacy-focused internet of 2026?
It's the million-dollar question.
The source lays out the three pillars of an effective 2026 retargeting strategy.
Yeah.
Pillar number one is behavioral segmentation. This is the mechanism that powers everything we just talked about.
Yes.
The system literally categorizes users based on URL paths. The guide uses a great example. So if a prospect reads an article on your site about AI search behavior, the system tags them, automatically placing them in an audience segment that only receives a white paper on AI readiness, rather than a generic brand ad.
That segmentation is what guarantees relevance. Because in today's digital climate, if you aren't hyper-relevant, your audience develops banner blindness and you become functionally invisible.
Pillar number two is frequency capping, which they call the non-annoyance factor.
I love that name.
Yeah. Ad fatigue is real. If you overdo it, people will deploy ad blockers or develop a negative association with your brand. But how does the system actually know when to stop? The goal is precision capping. You literally set a technical threshold, say a maximum of 4 ad impressions per user per week across all platforms.
Right.
It makes me think of seasoning a dish. Frequency capping is like salt. A precise pinch of salt elevates the entire dish and makes the meal memorable. But if you accidentally dump the whole shaker on the plate, well, you ruin the meal and you'll probably get banned from the kitchen.
That's exactly how the algorithms view it, too. You want to enhance the brand experience, not overpower the user. And that leads directly to the third pillar, which is cross-channel integration.
Right, because nobody stays on one site.
Exactly. A modern prospect does not live on a single website or a single social network. They jump rapidly between reading the news, scrolling professional networks like LinkedIn, and watching videos. Your nurture system has to seamlessly span Google Display, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
So you are reinforcing your authority wherever that specific ideal client decides to spend their time.
Yep.
Now, we can't talk about tracking behavior across multiple sites without addressing the massive, complicated elephant in the room, which is privacy. The source has a dedicated technical FAQ section for this because the hurdles in 2026 are significant.
Very significant.
First, they clarify a common point of confusion. Retargeting ads are fundamentally different from regular search ads. Regular search ads target total strangers based on the keywords they type into a search bar.
Right.
Retargeting only targets past visitors. That makes them far more likely to convert, and the cost per acquisition is much lower. But the crucial question remains, you know, with third-party cookies being dead and buried, and privacy laws stricter than ever, how does this tracking actually still work?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the old way businesses historically tracked users across the web was through third-party cookies.
Which everyone hated.
Right. Essentially, a data broker would place a tracking code on a user's browser, and that code would follow them around reporting back. Ad blockers and privacy laws rightfully killed that invasive method. The modern solution outlined in the guide is a combination of server-side tracking and first-party data.
Okay, walk us through how server-side tracking actually works in plain English, because it sounds incredibly dense.
It does, but think of it this way. The old browser-side tracking was like standing in a crowded public room and shouting the user's data across the room to an advertising network. Anyone could intercept it, block it, or complain about the noise. Ad blockers simply put a gag on the browser.
Okay, that makes sense.
Server-side tracking changes the communication flow. The user interacts with your website, and your website's secure server logs that interaction as first-party data.
Meaning data you legally own because the user consented to it on your site.
Exactly. Then, behind the scenes, your server securely communicates directly with the advertising network's server.
Ah, so it's like sending a secure, encrypted internal memo rather than shouting across a crowded public room.
Precisely. It bypasses the browser entirely. This allows for what DoubleDone calls dual platform visibility. You can still track and nurture your leads effectively, but you are doing it in a completely compliant, secure way that doesn't rely on shady third-party data brokers.
Wow.
Yeah, this repository of first-party data becomes an impenetrable moat for your business. It protects your marketing engine from sudden browser policy changes or, you know, the whims of tech giants.
You are building an asset you own rather than renting data from a platform whose rules change overnight. And speaking of the timeline for all this tracking, the text notes that the ideal B2B retargeting window is typically 30 to 90 days.
Which is pretty standard.
Right. This isn't arbitrary. It perfectly maps to the natural psychology of a high-value client. A three-month window gives them the cognitive space to research, present findings to their team, and secure budget, while ensuring you never let them forget you have the solution they need.
It matches the natural rhythm of the buyer. You aren't rushing them, but you aren't abandoning them to figure it out alone either.
So what does this all mean? When we zoom out and look at everything we've unpacked from Joe Medico's 2026 guide, the core value proposition is undeniable. A retargeting campaign build is not just a shiny new marketing tactic to try out for a month.
No, really not.
It functions as the technical backbone of your entire sales operation. It actively stops the silent leak. It takes all that passive, fleeting interest you paid so much to generate and systematically works to turn it into predictable revenue. And most importantly, it frees you up. You can focus on closing deals, refining your product, and running your company, knowing that an automated intelligent system is quietly warming up your leads in the background. You own your lead lifecycle instead of constantly starting from scratch every single month.
It transforms marketing from a series of disjointed, hopeful efforts into a continuous, measurable, and reliable engine.
It guarantees you don't walk away from a great first date without getting a way to stay in touch.
I love that analogy.
But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought to mull over. We've talked extensively about how 2026 is the era of the AI slump, where traditional search is dropping because generative AI tools are handling more and more queries directly.
Right.
Now, this highly sophisticated retargeting strategy we just discussed relies entirely on tracking human behavior. You know, what pages a human reads, how long they stay, what their intent is.
Right, human psychology.
But what happens in the very near future when AI agents start doing the heavy lifting of B2B research for us?
Oh.
If a CEO tells their AI assistant, go find me the top three enterprise logistics platforms and evaluate their security case studies, well, it's an algorithm visiting your site, reading your pages, and triggering your tracking pixels.
Wow.
Not a human. So as we move forward, will your beautifully sequenced, psychologically tuned retargeting ads be nurturing a human buyer? Or will they be endlessly advertising to an algorithm?
That is a wild thought.
Right. How exactly do you nurture a machine? Something to think about as you build your systems for the future. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us today.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.